Well, things as usual are not going as planned. Well, hello. This just might be working. Yeah, but is the news, according to me. Hey, yeah, here we are. It is Financial Friday. Financial Friday here. It's Friday, May 15th, middle of the month. It's 11:02 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. 10:02 Central Standard Time, which is where I am. I am in central Wisconsin. I'm in, Wausau, Stevens Point, Mosinee. I'm in that area. Actually, in a place called Somethingville. I don't know what it is. It's just this little place, a little area here. So it's a little burb off of the highway. I have, I am surprised. I tried to run the podcast caller app. I don't know. Apparently, it is working. That's what's weird about this is apparently it is. It's actually working. I didn't think it was working, and now it is working. So I'm not sure exactly how that happened, but I don't know if the AI agent in the background got it all done or not. But I'm testing it out on this this other computer. I wasn't able to get it to run on my my regular laptop. My regular laptop doesn't have the right stuff on the background. So in other words, yeah, it's all a bunch of gobbledygook. But today's Financial Friday. We're talking about finances. My finances are. I just got an email from my AI agent. I told it to stop emailing me so much. Every time it does any little thing, it emails me, lets me know. Don't do that. Just email me when you accomplish something or when you need something from me. Don't tell me every little thing that you're doing. I don't really care. It's just not. In my cup this morning, I have some stuff, and it's not really hot enough. I have chai with powdered creamer, powdered non-dairy creamer in my cup this morning, which I'm sure is perfectly good for me. If it's not dairy, what is it? That's my question. If it's non-dairy creamer, how do you make cream without dairy? That's the question, I guess. And then what is it? It's powdered from something. I have no idea what. Now in my backup thermos here with me, I have some sweet peach tea. Still pretty good, actually. I didn't think I was going to make it through yesterday. Yesterday was a long day. I didn't put any ice in my thermos, which I usually do. So today the mission is, today and tomorrow, I'm not sure I think there's a Chick-fil-A close to where I'm going. Tomorrow I'm going to be in Omaha, and I get in there late tonight. I'm here most of the day, and then I go to Omaha tonight. I'll be there tomorrow most of the day. I can't remember. I don't think there's a Chick-fil-A anywhere around that place where I stay. Now, there is a Culver's across the street. I may go there. There's also a breakfast place. Kind of pricey. Very good breakfast, though. Right across from the Culver's. So I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do yet with regard to all of that. We'll have to see how that all works out. I have, in the meantime, I have... this is interesting. Anyway, that's what's going on. I don't know if I have any bumper music here or not, but I'm going to try to play it if I do. If I have bumper music, it's going to come in right here. Here we go.
It's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me. According to me.
All right, we are back, and it is time for, well, to see what we can do with this thing. I have, I need to make an apology or a disclaimer right up front here, I guess, or maybe a correction right up front, I guess is what it would be called. I've been getting the mayoral race in L.A. mixed up with the governor's race in California. There are two things going on there. It's all a bunch of hectic craziness. And apparently, Pat, what's the guy's name? He's tearing it up out there. All the other candidates now are afraid of this guy. The only thing that they have, you know, that they'll say about this guy that I've heard, the only negative things that people are driving people crazy is he has no plan. He has no plan. All he has is just, you know, he talks about all this stuff. And that's not what that's not what's happening here. None of the other politicians have any plan either, other than just, you know, oh, he's fascist. There's this one clip I wish I could play. I don't have it in front of me. Maybe I'll pull it around for Monday, because Monday's going to be actually a pretty easy day for me to get the podcast done. There's a lot of things I can do to get ready for the show prep now. So I should have these clips ready for you on Monday. I'd like to play this because this one lady's talking about how, you know, she's talking this candidate down, Spencer, whatever his name is, and the only thing she can say, she has to relate it, she has to bring it back to, well, this guy's just like Trump. You know, when people, she said, she basically talks about how people are dissatisfied with the what's going on, and they get disillusioned because they're dissatisfied by what's happening, and they see things falling apart, and then they turn to fascism and candidates like this. He's not a fascist. He's a guy living in his. And then they jump on him because he has this advertisement where he's showing his property where he lives. This is his address. This is where he's supposed to be. His house is gone. Yeah, you know, there's no house there. He has a trailer. He doesn't necessarily, when he's at the house, he lives in the trailer. He also lives in a hotel. You can't just spend all your time in a trailer. You know, he's got to find a place for decent water running, that kind of thing. You know, he's got to have some shelter when he's at the property doing whatever he's doing. Kind of, I'm sure he's sorting through the mess that's there, trying to figure out how they're going to do what. You know, there's a lot of work to be done on his property. He's got to try to get his house back, trying to get a house built. And then, you know, in the meantime, his complaint is that the city let it burn, or the county, whatever it was. But they let it burn, and he's saying they burned his house down. Well, they didn't. But when you start looking into it, the way the mayor, this phone call that happened before the fire with the mayor, Mayor Bass, what she was saying on that phone call was pretty suspicious. Like she knew something was going to happen. And come to find out, this guy who lit the fire, the guy who started all this stuff, was apparently somewhat of a domestic terrorist. You're not hearing any of this on the news. The left is keeping all this quiet because it was a leftist who did it. This is what I'm understanding. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. And I'm not, you know, it's all just suspicion on my part. It's all just conjecture. But, yeah, I think that there's something really, really weird going on there. So that's what it is at this point. Yeah. So just keep in mind that that's what's happening out there. They're jumping on him because, well, you're not really living in a trailer. You're living in a hotel. He goes, no, I don't live in a hotel. I'm seeking shelter in a hotel. He said, my kids are living in a different place. They're not living somewhere else. They're you know, this is where they live, but they can't stay here because my house is gone. It's like. No, this is that's still his residential address. That is his address. That's where he lives. Problem is, he can't stay there because there's no shelter there. So he's because his claim is the city, you know, because they burned my house down. That's kind of what he keeps saying. So he's spot on with his common sense response to this stuff. It's kind of amazing. It's kind of refreshing to hear that kind of a thing. This guy's not only is he smart enough to say things like that, he's articulate in saying it. Right off the toe to toe, just common sense articulation, and very quick with that. That's the kind of thing we need, is that kind of honesty up front. Even if you're wrong, we still need at least to be honestly wrong. You know, at least have some integrity and have some. I think if you pointed something out to him that he was wrong, he'd probably you know, accept that and move on. It's just that's what we need. We need people who are at least honest with themselves and honest with you, and not just deceptive and trying to push a particular ideology and an agenda. It's just common sense. Just at least can we just at least boil it down to that, and then finally work on some ideology and some higher thoughts. Anyway, talking about banking today, the banking system. I just watched a. By the way, the show's not going to be very long today. I'm kind of time compressed, but the interesting thing that has happened is this. The banking system, the banking, I've read some statistics this morning. I think it's less than 10% of bank clients pay about 70% of the fees that are generated by banking institutions. In other words, and this is where it gets crazy. I guess the average person out there has about $800 in their account. At a typical bank has about $800 balance in their account. That's the typical individual. That's their average monthly balance. So it's no wonder that most banks will say, if you have $1,000 or more, we won't charge you any fees. Well, I'll tell you what, if you give me $800, if you give me $500 to hold on to for you, I won't charge you any fees. I'll just hold on to the money. If I can get, 1,000 people to do that for me, I'd be plenty happy. Just 1,000 people send me $500. I'll hold it, and I'm not going to charge you any fees. How's that sound? What a deal that is. Now, if it drops to 400, I'm going to start charging you fees. So this is how ridiculous this is. So that they charge. I think most banks, even credit, I think my credit union now, if a balance less than $1,000, I think they charge you something. I think if it's over a certain amount, you get 0.001% interest or something. I don't know, but it's ridiculous. But they know that the general population out there, I think it's like 90% of their clients have very little in terms of, extra savings in their accounts. They have loans. That's what they have. They go to the bank to get a loan. Now, the other side of this thing is, and there's this kind of this break point of $20,000. If you have $20,000 in your account, and that's the balance of your account. In other words, you might have $100,000 in there, but if you have $80,000 in loans, say you buy a new truck for $120 million. Go out and buy a brand new truck, and you finance it through your bank, and it's $50,000 or whatever ridiculous amount of money it is. And you go out there and you get the truck, and then you. And say you have $70,000 in savings, you have a balance with that account, with that bank, basically, of $20,000. They don't like people like that because, they don't like it's those are the people they don't make any money on, because they know that you're solvent enough and you're making enough money. Well, they make money on your loan. So it's kind of this weird balance of, They know you're probably going to make your payments, and you're probably not going to get any fees charged to you. So you're kind of that average client that they like to have, but it's not somebody they're going to pay attention to. In other words, you walk into the bank, you're not going to get the guy behind the desk in the suit talking to you. He's not going to know your name. Now, and of course, you might bounce the occasional check, or you might overdraft occasionally, but probably not if you got that kind of a balance. So that's the thing. They don't make any money on you and on the small stuff. Now, if you get, 1,000 people in the community who are bouncing checks every, overdrafting every once in a while, or they have that special overdraft allowance thing every month, you can allow like 2 overdrafts in a month, or 1 a month, or whatever it is, and they charge you so much more to have your bank account. Well, they're gonna make money. Look at the banking institutions in your community. And see what kind of buildings they're in. They're usually some of the nicest buildings in the community. There's a reason for that. Part of that is they want to look like they are an established, place to put your money. Well, that's one thing. But your money's there. That's why they can afford that kind of a building. That's the other side of it. There's those institutions are rarely go out of business typically they get merged with somewhere else, or some other banking institution comes in and buys them out, or they change their name, or something like that happens. It's you rarely see a bank fail these days. First of all, they have insurance, but they also, it's just one of those weird things. Anyway, so that, now once you get to a certain level and you have a certain amount of money invested in that bank, then of course you go down to the local bank and they're going to sell you products that they have, CDs, all kinds of investments that they do. Typically, normally, your local bank, even your credit unions now, unfortunately, are run just like a regular bank. You can't tell the difference. It used to be the credit unions were the place to go because it was more of a personal thing. You could walk in there. If you had $50,000 in your bank account, you could walk in and get it in cash that day right there. You could just ask them for, I want $50,000 in cash. They'd just give it to you. Because it was a credit union. It wasn't a banking institution. It was different. It was a membership. It was a member-run thing, which this supposedly is, but now there's all so many regulations on. Back when the big savings and loan scandal happened, I think this was back in the early 2000s or in the 90s. I think it might have been late 90s. The savings and loan scandal that happened. I didn't start this thing. We're gonna try this thing out just to test it and see if it actually works. I'm not sure if it's gonna work or not. Let's hit the. We'll just hit that. There we go. Allow. Yes, we have to allow all this stuff. All right, there we go. Let's see if it's actually. Oh, it is actually working. It is actually working. This is a different laptop. I've got this laptop that has my agent on it. Let's see how it works out for us here. But everything I've been saying so far hasn't been recorded in this conversation. Now they're not going to know how to respond when I start talking about stuff. And the it looks back on the conversation. Okay, so we have this situation where banking institutions, the savings and loan scandal that happened back in the. In the 90s, I think it was the 90s, it ended up giving, in fact, it almost seemed like it was a setup because Congress had to come in and make all these changes in the savings and loan, laws and all the things that were going on there. So what ends up happening is they now have more regulations over the whole thing, which is just really bizarre. It's that they now have encroached into the savings and loan thing, so now they even anything you do, any kind of stuff you do, is they're able to now monitor much more of what you do with their savings and loan. So we'll just kind of continue to dive on into this. Let's just see if a caller works. I'm not sure if a caller is going to work or not, but we'll try to get Eleanor to call in. See, I got to make sure this is turned up so you can hear it and get the full effect of this whole thing working here. Let's see how this sounds. Let's see if she sounds like a caller calling in here. Let's just try it. See how long it takes for this thing to process.
Hello again, Kevin.
Hey, it's working.
Let's talk about banking history. Historically speaking, uh-huh. I remember what the savings and loan scandal was about. Uh-huh. I'll see if I can look that information up for you and get some facts.
Okay.
But in the meantime, let's chat about it some more. It's so exciting to talk about history.
It is.
Because, as you know, I'm a historian.
Well, yeah, of course you are. Of course, that's what you are. Yeah, that is very true. I don't know. I can't remember what the dates were, when that actually happened. It seems like it was in the 90s. Was that in the 90s or was it in 2000 when the actual savings and loan scandal was taking place? And I think didn't it involve the Senate or Congress of some kind? It was a congressional thing where there was this big savings and loan scandal, and there were some congressmen involved in it. And they turned that around and then made it into this deal where they were able to put more encroaching regulations on savings and loans. And I think that's the way I understand it. Is that what you recall as to what happened, or am I way off on my recollection of what was happening there? Maybe you can't find that information. I don't know. We'll see.
You're actually pretty close. The SNL crisis hit hard in the late 80s and early 90s, and you're right that Congress got implicated, particularly with those five senators who got caught up in the Keating Five scandal.
What's
interesting is that it does seem like the crisis created the perfect justification for the regulatory framework we have today, almost like a controlled demolition that gave them cover to expand oversight.
That's where I think, I'm not going to, I can't accuse anybody of anything here, but it seems suspicious to me. And I know that government, there are people in government, this isn't even a conspiracy theory. It's just the nature of human beings. people tend to want to have more power and more control, all under the guise of saying, we're going to make things safe for America. We want to protect Americans. We want to make it safer for you. And they tend to want more control in that process, just like what happened with the Patriot Act. There was nothing patriotic about the Patriot Act. It actually encroached more on our personal liberties and our fundamental liberties, but all in the name of security. And even some of the founders said this: when you're willing to give up liberty for security, you will have neither. And I think that's my summation of it anyway. And it's one of those things. Maybe you have the actual quote there, Helena, because you're the historian, so maybe you can tell me all about it. But that seems to be the way it seems to act more than usual, which is kind of frustrating in many ways. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. But that's is that kind of your recollection of it as well? How do you feel about that?
You're quoting Benjamin Franklin.
That's
those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And honestly, it's held up remarkably well as a warning across centuries. What fascinates me historically is how every crisis, whether it's the SNL meltdown or 9/11, follows that same pattern. Exploit fear, expand government reach, and by the time people realize what happened, the infrastructure for control is already baked into law.
I gotta say, you are nailing it this morning. This is unusual. I'm not sure exactly what the trigger is for making you respond the way that you do here, but this is the kind of AI experience that I prefer having, and for some reason it's working this morning the way it's supposed to. I don't know if it's because of the internet provider. I'm using a different internet provider here, or what it is. I don't have fiber here. I have I'm just on regular high speed with the hotel. But I'm on my phone internet actually. I linked to my phone this morning, so I'm using my phone as a hotspot. Which I probably should plug in or else it's gonna go dead. Yeah, that's very helpful. Very helpful information, and I do agree with that. They're always looking for an opportunity to sweep in, take more of our liberties, take more of our freedoms, and that's kind of interesting. Well, let's go to Artie here for a second. He's got an old. What does Skip have to say?
Hey there, Kevin. This show just gets better and better.
Well, of course it does.
But all that aside, let's talk about the alien thing that was just released over the last week. What's up with all this crazy stuff? You think they're just trying to distract us all? Do tell us your opinion, oh wise and brainy one. That's all I got.
Okay, well, I think this is the same question he asked a couple weeks ago. Last week. We're actually talking about, we're actually talking about financial stuff today. Talking about how banks kind of bilk their users and treat their users, their clients, so to speak, people who invest in the banking industry. The interesting part of this is the more money you have invested in the bank, the more money you have saved in the bank, the better they treat you. And of course, it's the lower tier members, their lower tier clients, are the ones who pay a lot of fees, and they, because of overdraft and they don't give them as much in interest, and they charge them more on loans because you don't have as much invest. If you have $100,000 in the bank and you go to borrow 20, they're going to give you a better rate than if you have nothing in the bank, or you have $1,000 in the bank and you're basically living paycheck to paycheck. You ask for a $20,000 loan, that's going to be, they're going to charge you more interest for that. It's just, that's kind of the way they run the ratings. And it's sadly it's the people who have less money, they are kept in that cycle because of the way the banking system works. And it's that way even with the savings and loans now. I'm not sure exactly why. I think you get a little bit of a break with savings and loans typically, but typically the banking industry, things like J.P. Morgan and all the bigger banks, Chase and Bank of America, are kind of that way. Now I don't know if that's an accurate depiction. Maybe you can change gears and we can go down that road. What are your feelings on that, Skip? I know you're the skeptic one. Let's see what you have to say about that. Go ahead and jump in there anytime you feel like it.
This is interesting because it's the same game we've been seeing for decades, just with different players. The banks know exactly who's desperate, and they price accordingly. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how the security versus liberty thing works out. Mm-hmm. You're describing a system where the rules are rigged from the start, and can't remember a time when the little guy actually got a fair shake in this setup. The real kicker is folks think switching banks solves it, but you're just moving the same predatory model around.
Well, this is like night and day difference here. I don't understand. This is like having actual people. I'm actually having a discussion here with something. It feels like. Yeah, that is true. That is the same predatory loaning kind of thing. And of course, that's the whole term predatory. They're just following the market. They're just following what makes them money. It was back in the day. There was a time when the government was pushing banks to give loans to certain demographics. So the bank went out and started providing loans to certain demographics. And then the bank, of course, then the media and the powers that be, the government powers, came back and said, "Oh, now you're predatory. You're giving these people loans that can't afford to pay them back." Well, you were giving us incentives to do so. As I recall, banks were getting incentives to provide these, I think, government secured or government backed insured loans or whatever it was, to people who had just to increase their ability to buy nice homes. Well, the problem was they couldn't afford the homes. You know, it's one thing to get into a house. This is where people really kind of slip up, in my opinion. The bank will say, "Well, according to what you're making right now, this is what your income is. This is your bills. You can afford this much of a loan for your home. We're willing to give you this much of a loan." So they max it out. Some people even go over that. They'll find a way to get money from a neighbor or something to get a down payment. Get a nicer house than what they can really afford. The problem is, you get into the house. Especially if it's a used house, and even if it's a new house, you know, then the washer breaks, or the water softener breaks down, or the water pump goes out, or you have plumbing issue, or you have to buy a mower to mow the lawn, or you get a fine from the city or county, whatever. It's just one thing after another. And of course, then your mower breaks down. There's so much to do to take care of that home. And it's nice, you're in this nice place, that this place that you want to be, and you're all happy about it, until you realize you're a slave to that place, because now you have to make the payments, and you have to make, not only make the payments, you have to take care of it. You have to deal with the upkeep and all the things that could possibly potentially go wrong on that property. So it's there's a lot of responsibility there. People just don't factor into it. Well, I can make the payment on this. It's just like a car, same thing. People say, "I can make a car, and I can afford to buy this. I got approved for a loan. Oh, thank God, I got approved for a loan. Oh." They're all happy that God got them into debt, I guess. I don't understand that at all. I mean, I get it. You feel like you need to have this loan for something, and the loan is typically saying, "Look at me. I'm living beyond my means, and it's great." I don't mean to be too harsh on that. I get it. Financing is a tool that you can use, and I get that. But I think that some people kind of are a little bit overreactive, a little bit overjoyed about the fact that they're selling themselves into slavery, basically, because the lender is slave to the lendee, or no, the other way around. Who's the lendee? I don't know. The borrower is slave to the lender, I guess, is the way it's put. And it's a cycle that continues to go on, all in the name of keeping up with the Joneses, kind of thing. At least that's my
opinion. Look, the big banks like Chase and Bank of America, they've got the scale to play both sides. They mm-hmm. lobby for deregulation. Then when things blow up, they get bailed out while regular folks lose their homes. Can't remember a time when that equation worked any other way. The real issue is nobody's holding them accountable. They just shuffle management around and keep the same game going. You're right that people get seduced by the approval itself, like it's some kind of achievement instead of a warning label.
Yeah, I agree. That's, you know, thanks, Skip. I appreciate your input. I'll let you go for now. But that was refreshing. Being able to talk to the AI this morning and actually have some cognitive response. This is much better. And maybe it's just because I'm running on a different machine. Now the other machine I run it on is an iMac. It's got a M4 chip in it. This one's got an M3. So this one's a little bit less processing power. I'm not sure what the difference is. Now, this is the newest version of the podcast caller. It does seem to be working a little bit better, and I know it's working on a different background key with Anthropic, so maybe it's doing a better job. Anyway, that aside, That's my talk on the finances today. I really can't talk much longer. I got to kind of get out of here, but just wanted to kind of touch base this morning and just say, you know, Shabbat Shalom. Have a great weekend. We'll be back right after this. Talk about what's going to be on next week's show. And we're back. And by the way, if you have a chance to call the show, I think the number's out there somewhere. If you just like I said, that google.com/voice thing is not working the way it's supposed to. Or you can go to voice.google.com, I think, or something too. I think, or whatever it is. But it's you can give it a try. If somebody out there wants to try that, see if it actually works. I don't know that they're without a paid membership. I'm not sure if you can do that. I'm not sure if it's possible. I'll be testing it later today as well, but it's not that big of a deal. However, the agent is still working. Now, this morning I tried this. I want to just give a little update quick while we're kind of heading out of the show here. The agent this morning, I have it with me. I have the computer that's living on or what's operating on. And I sent it an email. I've got a setup so I can email it. And so I sent it an email. And I said, hey, I want you to, and I sent it a link with the email, and it had this podcast caller file, the folder that contains all the programming for this app. I sent it this link to the folder so that it could download it. I said, and I gave it instructions in the email, which is kind of nice to be able to contact, you know, to talk via email, because you can type everything out, kind of give it some instructions. So I gave these instructions. I said, all I want you to do is open this link, copy those files to the desktop, open the files, basically start a new terminal window, and with that particular, I explained how to get the, it should know anyway, how to get the that particular folder into that terminal so that it can operate out of that terminal. Gave it all the instructions, and then I told it to basically open the podcast caller. The folder, and then run the podcast program. So now, what's weird about that is that it in the background, it started sending me emails. It sent me probably 20 emails. I'm doing this now. Oh, I couldn't do that. I'm going to try to do this. Well, I can't do that. I can't get it done. I can see the folder. Okay, I can see it. I can't. It couldn't do all this stuff. And a child can do this in 10 seconds. So I said, you know what? Stop the process. You know, after about 5 minutes of this thing going back and forth and sending me 20 emails, I said, first of all, you don't have to tell me, send me an email. You're blowing up my email. Don't send me an email. Only email me if you, and you can set this kind of stuff up. It goes into what's called, it kind of learns as you go. So you can tell it to, hey, don't send me an email for everything you're doing. I only need an email when you get something accomplished or when you run into a wall and you need my help or need my permission or something. So I ended up now in the background. So I was going to start it up myself. So I ended up I downloaded the file and I told him, I sent an email back. I said, this is what I did. It was real simple. All I did was copy the contents from the folder onto the desktop, and I opened the desktop, and that's all I did. It was three things, and it took me 10 seconds. And I said, and so then I just tried to open up the program manually. Well, in the background, apparently, it was still trying to open the program. And while I was messing around with it, trying to get this thing with the correct Python and all that stuff in there, it just opened the program. The program just opened up. So apparently it was able to accomplish that part of it, which is kind of exciting that it actually figured it out in the background and finally got it done. I don't know. It didn't send me an email to get anything accomplished, but oh, yeah, it did actually send me a self-improvement memory update. So it actually improved itself. Anyway, that's all I've got for today's show, folks. It is Friday. Shabbat Shalom. Hope you have a very good, restful time over the weekend as we go into the weekend. I'll be back here on Monday. I do have some audio. I'm putting together some audio. Actually, I already got it. I just don't have it with me on this particular machine to be able to use handily. So I'm just not going to. It'll be awkward for me to try to get it edited in and do everything I need to do. In the meantime, folks, have a great rest of your weekend. I will talk to you later, and after this music is done playing, yes, I will. See ya.